Microsoft's purpose is in service of your purpose.
And again, 2024 is the year that partners come out as the leading edge of the spear on finding this buyer intent.
You show up to every meeting and demonstrate why you are relevant.
Every day I have to force myself to make sure that I'm taking one step ahead in terms of my own learning.
That flywheel of success is where you build momentum, and that momentum will continue, and then you feed into the other systems to say, this is what we did, this is how we did it together.
Welcome to The Ultimate Guide to Partnering. I'm Vince Menzione, your host, and my mission is to empower every individual, partner, and organization to achieve their greatest results through successful partnering. Today, we have a special guest here in the studio. He's an individual and entrepreneur that I've gotten to know well over the last few months since he joined us in Dallas at our live event. Dexter Hardy is the president and CTO of Integral, a Pinnacle Award-winning Microsoft ISV. Dexter, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Vince.
I am so excited to have you here in the studio in Boca Raton. So glad you could join us today for our viewers and our listeners. And we got to know each other at our event, our live event in November in Dallas, Texas. And I was excited to have you here because you're an amazing organization on a journey here. And I was hoping to have you share with our listeners all the great things that are happening in Integral and the work that you do. I invite you here specifically because we talk about marketplaces and this marketplace moment and how organizations need to adopt to the change. And your organization has been a marketplace first ISV from day one, in fact. Yeah. I was hoping you could share with us first your value and how you got here.
Yeah. So I'd have to back up a little bit to say that for 20 years prior to our pivot, we were a small SI focusing on app development, data center moves, you know, supporting organizations across the full spectrum. COVID happened, and that was the, you know, the tip of the spear for us for pivoting. It forced us to rethink what we do. We call it consulting 2.0. How do you do more with less, really embodying that as an organization? And so we took the IP that we were really good at with our customers, created an accelerator in the Azure marketplace. We released our first solution 2021, and the rest is history, as they say.
So you started out as a services organization. You create a product, you create a marketplace solution.
Yep.
And you have a category, and perhaps you're a category of one. And I've heard you use the term infrastructure as code as a service. And I'm not technical. So I was hoping for our listeners and our viewers, in fact, you could take us through what that is and why it's so compelling to our marketplace right now.
Okay. So I'll start with a non-technical explanation of infrastructure as code as a service. So whenever you're trying to do anything in mass, you want to have an assembly line process.
Right.
So if it's building a house or a chocolate factory.
Henry Ford,
you want to build the first car,
yep.
Right? The first one, you build that prototype. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that change. You need to build special tools. But if you're trying to put them out in mass, you need a repeatable process that can guarantee at the end of a certain process, you have an outcome.
Yep.
Infrastructure as code as a service focuses on the outcome of what happens in the cloud. So infrastructure as code. So I'm getting a little more technical as we go into this. Infrastructure as code is, you'll look at Ansible, you'll look at Terraform, Microsoft has ARM templates, AWS uses CloudFormation. But those are all technologies in and of themselves that people are, you know, a mile deep in and you have to really understand. We're saying, don't worry about that. Focus on the outcome. Our platform will get you there through, if you can fill out a web form, you can deploy to the cloud.
And I love the example you used with me when we first met. You know, we talked about a specific ISV, a very significant security ISV. We'll go nameless at this point because we haven't asked for their permission to use their name.
Yep.
This organization was running exclusively on AWS's cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew they needed to get over to Microsoft. In fact, they had signed an agreement. They had started a co-selling strategy. They were building out a marketplace offering.
Yeah.
And they weren't there yet. And it was difficult for them to get from point A to point B.
Correct.
And they found you.
Mm-hmm.
And they they click, it was a click and buy type of situation for them. And since they have moved all those, they've migrated all of that technology over to Azure.
Yep.
And now they're consuming an incredible amount. We won't throw any real dollars at it, but it's an incredible amount of Azure based on the work they did with Integral.
Absolutely. And so, you know, when you look at it, we call it a cloud lift and shift, right?
Yep.
So if you're on AWS, a lot of vendors will start with Amazon's version of Linux, Amazon Linux, no harm, no foul, until you're ready to leave. And now you're like, okay, we got to rewrite. We have,
there's hooks here.
There's a huge hook. It only runs on Amazon. Well, it did only run on Amazon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were looking at having to have their team go in, reverse it, you know, kind of look at the architecture and do we rewrite this entire thing? And we were like, no, we ported Amazon Linux to Azure. We'll show you how to integrate that into your current CI/CD pipeline, and you can run it and test it. So instead of taking, you know, 18 months, they're able to do it in a couple of months, right? So it cuts your time to market to a third, less than a half. It ensures, and again, we focus on the outcome. Like, nobody cares about tech. I mean, I'm in tech, but nobody knows about the intricacies or want to get right. A mile deep in it, right? They're focused on, if you're in healthcare, you want to focus on servicing your customers. You right. don't want to find out, like, how do we become really good IT companies? So
you were digital first, digital only today, but that's going to change. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yep.
So you have deployed all of these marketplace solutions to help organizations get various permutations of what they're doing in maybe one cloud or on-prem or in a data center environment to Azure. Is that the way I understand it?
Absolutely.
Take us through that ideal customer for us.
So the ideal customer, so I would say there's two paths, right? Or three paths. One, you're doing a cloud lift and shift, like our security friend who wanted to move from AWS to Azure.
Right.
That's one path. Then if you have a data center, you have your data center, you're like, hey, we need to move off of this legacy equipment into the cloud. That's a secondary path. And then the third path is if you just want to innovate in the cloud, right? You don't want to spend a whole bunch of money on hiring Azure specialists to spin up your stuff. You can start with our solutions. That'll get you 80% of the way. And now you innovate on top of that. So yes. I would break it out into those three.
Yeah. And I think about things like Kubernetes as well, where somebody is maybe already in the cloud, but now they're looking at containerization as a next step in their transformational journey.
Absolutely. And so we really want to make sure that what we do is we meet their customers where they are. So if you're in a data center and you have VMs running, you can spin up that same equivalent VM in the cloud. So now your team, that upskilling that it would have been required before, it's really not there because they're dealing with like for like. It's just a data center in the cloud, right? As opposed to a data center that they physically go to or whatever they were used to before.
You know, we have been calling this year the marketplace moment, right? We were at our event. We had several executives. Anthony Joseph from Microsoft spoke. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me, the perspective, because there are a lot of ISVs in the room that are still earlier in their journey, right? They started off on a different level or path. Yeah. You started marketplace first, marketplace only, in fact,
as your
approach. You don't just have one solution, you have many solutions, right? But it serves the market that you're trying to serve or the markets that you're trying to serve.
Yep.
Let's talk about the marketplace. And also, you've been featured ISV Success. We had Yvonne Mensch on the podcast just recently.
Absolutely.
You have been spotlighted in that organization. Talk to me about what your point of view is on this marketplace moment.
So the marketplace moment is real. So if you are not in the marketplace, you're going to get left behind. I would say, think of it in terms of, we talked about cars.
Yes.
Ford earlier. There's a lot of blacksmiths that were still like, you know what? I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep this talent and I'm going to work on it. And then nobody needed horseshoes.
No.
So I think the marketplace is a pivotal moment like that. in that companies will be able to scale at a pace that they were not able to do before. They'll be able to add value globally. Like I said, when we started, we were a regional consultancy supporting maybe 3 to 4 different states around the metro Atlanta area. Now we have customers in over 100 countries.
Yeah.
So, you know, that changes the playing field.
It changes your reach for sure.
Absolutely.
And it changes the trajectory of your company. And I'll share, I know some numbers, but I think you said somewhere in the neighborhood of 19,000 customers now.
Absolutely.
So you go from a handful, a small amount of customers, and now you have 19,000 customers in 120 countries. How many countries?
The number changes. There's 187 the last time I checked. The only reason I looked up that number is because we were getting close. I'm like, how many countries is there? So last time I checked, we were a little bit over 150-ish, but you know.
And this has all been in over a fairly short period of time.
Since 2001. That was March 2021.
2021. Which, you know, has been through, we talked about these tectonic shifts, how COVID accelerated things.
If you're part of the movement, you know I have a very strong point of view. I've sat on both sides of the table for over 30 years now. I've built growth through partnerships in PC, internet, cloud, mobile, AI, marketplaces, and more. I've also seen the demise of organizations that are resistant to change. I'm part of the communities, special interest groups, and associations, and I don't see one place that mirrors the ecosystem and brings it all together. You see, I see a vibrant world where hyperscalers, builders, ISV sellers, SIs, MSPs, and other partners come together to spark the ecosystem's growth. I've talked to many of you, and what I continually hear is it's noisy, I don't know whom to listen to, and where to go. There's a massive opportunity, but I'm not sure how to get there. Well, you've been heard. We're getting ready to open the doors early to pilot this new experience. We want this to be your place with your feedback and participation. If you're a builder, an innovator, or a leader, visit our website.
You have been, we talked about being featured as a Microsoft partner, but you've also been part of, you've gotten to know a lot of the people in the partnerships world at Microsoft and outside of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
You've also participated in countless, I'll say, accelerators and training. What was the biggest challenge you needed to overcome? And what was the one piece of wisdom you share with other Microsoft partners looking to achieve what you achieved?
Okay. So, I'll start with the accelerators. The very first thing they say is, what is your superpower?
Yes.
And so, you know, coming from a world where you're an SI, you're doing a lot of different things. But what is the one thing that you would say, I'll stand up against anybody in the world, and that's our go-to?
What you do differently, better. Yep.
Yep. Faster, stronger, better than anyone in the world. So we focus. So being in those accelerator programs, being a part of that executive coaching, and then thinking about it in terms of a billion-dollar organization like Microsoft, how can you add value, right? So you can't come to Microsoft and say, we can do everything. They're going to look at you and say, that's impossible. The scale that we were talking about is, you can't do that as a small organization. However, if you put that in the hyperscaler's cloud marketplace, turn on a digital first motion, now you're adding value at the scale of Microsoft, right? Because there are, I don't remember the final numbers, but there's like 4 million or more active users in the Azure marketplace.
Yeah, somewhere in that number. Yep.
And so now if you're adding value at that scale, it's a law of large numbers. If you're focusing on 10% of those 40,000 customers that are now transacting with you, and again, we're just starting to scratch the surface. We had 19,000, you know, we still have a lot to go, but I think that's where, if I were a small organization, I would focus on what is your superpower? Understand what is your key differentiator? And then amplify that. And then what you'll do is what we're able to do now is now you can actually go in and start back adding on those additional services if you want to, because you're the tip of the spear isn't, hey, let's go through the sale, let's go in and talk to the customer, let's understand where you are, you know, and there's all these different motions you have to go through. No, our customers are, it's in the marketplace, we see the value, it's a digital transaction and they're moving.
And you're creating value. You're doing value creation is what I would say your organization does differently.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that. Like, what do you think you do differently? Like, what are the things that you were challenged with and what did you apply? What were the principles you applied to get to where you are today?
So the biggest challenge that I was faced with is figuring out how to productize that IP. Because that's going to be your biggest challenge as a company who's implementing. Like, how do you come up with the process to create the factory?
Yes. So how do you do that?
So for me, it was a scenario of just pick one. Like, you have to pick an area to go. So again, around the focus, pick an area that you've added the most value in as an organization. And then productize that one. In the process of creating that product, you're gonna learn about the marketplace. You're gonna learn about your internal process. You'll see what the value is, but then go ahead and put it in the marketplace. Don't do analysis paralysis, because the marketplace will tell you if it's valuable.
Right.
Right. We put our solutions out there. When we first pivoted, our website had nothing about our products. But you know what? Because we put it in the marketplace and the product added value, people downloaded it anyway.
People found it. What was that first solution?
The first solution was actually SQL Server running on Linux.
SQL Server on Linux. Interesting. Yeah. And that was popular, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. So people were, because when Microsoft moved away from the Windows, and it was core Windows, but it still was running a little more cycles than a lot of companies wanted. They had other resources running on Linux. So they were like, okay, our teams, can we have this SQL Server running on Linux? And so that was our first product. We actually created a container out of it, and we had some pretty big name petroleum companies and other financial institutions that, you know, vetted out and like, okay, this is the right thing.
So you helped them optimize the performance of SQL Server.
Yeah.
Moving it to Linux and then moving it into a container approach.
Yep. Right. Yep. That was the biggest.
So I want to do a deep dive here. We met because you were part of the Black Partner Growth Initiative at Microsoft, where Mel Mitchell introduced us, in fact, another good friend of both of ours.
Yep.
As a Black entrepreneur and CEO, I want to dive here on like challenges that maybe you faced in the business and in creating a company and brand.
Okay. So I would say it's going to be across the board, regardless of race or ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Focus on value first.
Value first.
The fact that you have that I'm a Black owner, that's an additional attribute to how we think about what we do as a company. But the first thing is, are we adding value? And so that's at the preface of everything that we do whenever we create a solution. The second piece is the challenge. Well, it's brand building. And yes. So what I would recommend to a lot of companies, a lot of the people that we supported in our SI role were marketing agencies.
Yep.
And so if you look at the top 10 companies, most marketing companies want to work with 2 through 10, not 1 through 10, because you can show how you're improving in any of those other positions. If you're number one, the only thing that you can see is
if you go down.
Right. So I would say, and in that, you have to build a community. You have to build a network. And they called it a groundswell approach. So we focused on the groundswell approach. We focused on DevOps. We focused on the people that were like us. They would resonate with our message. They would understand the problem that they were faced with and challenged. And so by staying focused on that, staying focused on building that community, that is the thing that gives you the ability to now build your brand, because it's genuine, right? You understand the challenges they face with, the things that they were doing on a day-to-day basis.
You and I, when we first met, had a very early in our conversations, you talked about generational leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, and maybe this is where the whole Black entrepreneur and CEO piece comes in.
Yep.
I have a sense about, I'd love to learn more about your personal mission, professional mission, personal mission, and where you hope to take the world.
Okay. So I'll go back to a statement. A leader is someone who creates leaders that builds other leaders. So if you look at the lineage around that, if it just ends with you, were you really a leader?
Yeah.
Right. But if you've created, again, creating that process of now you're instilling in someone else, if you're a leader, then you're going to push it three generations down or three. That's what creates a legacy. That's what creates something that's going to last a lifetime or several, right? Because it's no longer resting with you. You're investing in someone else. You're seeing, you know, the human traits, and you're helping them become the best version of themselves.
So where are you taking Integral? And how do you bring that mission and this generational leadership to fruition?
Okay, so first and foremost, we focus on community building. So we're an ally of Women in Cloud. We're part of BCPA, and we're plugged into our local community. So first and foremost, staying a part of the community is key for me. The second piece is we actually invest in giving scholarships and or internships to help people learn technology and understand, you know, if you've never seen a person do it, then you don't know that it's possible. So the more people that we can create that are women, minorities, that are in tech and being successful, now you're inspiring someone else to do those types of things. And so where I see that, that's building on top of that community, that's building that legacy. But then the third piece of that is, well, where does that take Integral? Yes. I think by building that community, continuing to build on that groundswell, it only elevates us as an organization, because now it's no longer we're trying to sell you on we're good. No, we're genuinely wanting to see everyone in a better place. The second piece is we're adding value because we understand your issue. So now it's, again, you're not choosing us because, hey, this is the latest, greatest thing that's out there. It is pretty cool, but it's really to address the issue that you're faced with on a day-to-day.
So you're a category of one today. You're doing something that I don't think any other organization is doing with these solutions that you're driving through the marketplace. You've got 19,000 now customers.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving... Can we use real numbers here to talk about Azure consumption? 100 million hours of Azure consumption?
Yeah. So
which is astounding.
Yeah. So we, through December of last year, we actually had customers consuming about 100 million Azure consumption hours.
It's crazy.
And this first quarter, we're on target to be within the next 6 months. They're going to do 100 million in 6 months.
You're on the path to be 200 million this year. Is that what I'm thinking? Maybe, possibly.
Well, we're actually trending to be around 300 to 400 million by the end of this year.
So what does success look like with that? Like, where do you go from here?
So success looks like, again, just coming from a no-name brand to actually not having to introduce yourself in the room anymore, right? So we're kind of doing that within our own right, within the market, within the DevOps community.
Yep.
The second piece is, well, customers. So we're still going to stay customer focused. How do we enable you to innovate in your own field? Right?
What does that look like?
So that looks like our automation of our product, right? So now you can spin this up in the cloud. Well, now you're not spending 6 to 9 months doing that, plus another 12 months training someone, and then the technology's old. No, you're starting, you know, a month earlier, 6 months earlier, 12 months earlier, and now you can focus on the innovation in your specific industry. You're not thinking about technology problems per se. You're actually solving problems within your own vertical.
So let's jump into that future state. What does that look like for Integral? You're taking on us on a path here, I believe, right? We're looking about it's a click try buy basically today, And now you're saying you're also going to help those organizations accelerate their path or their growth.
Yep.
What does that look like, and what are you going to be offering?
So the way we looked at that is tip of the spear, you see the value. Second thing is we've introduced what we call like our concierge cloud. Yeah. So concierge cloud is, you mentioned we have about 300 solutions. That solution set continues to grow because we're always, you know, things change, people are updating things. So that content continues to grow. But in concierge cloud, instead of having to do eaches or pay as you go, We're saying, hey, you get as a annual subscription, you get access to everything in the library. Plus, we give you a technical architect to kind of help you understand how to both maximize your spend in the cloud, how to maximize your lift and shift, whatever those things are. And then we add some additional like customer success, you know, just making sure handholding. So it goes from, hey, this transactional based relationship to a more back to what we did before, more consulting advisory. Yeah.
And we talk about these 18,000 or 19,000 customers. Where does this apply? Give me a scenario. Give me a customer scenario. Like apply it to, like, I know we were just talking with one of the big, large global SIs here just a little bit before we started our conversation.
Yep.
Give me an example that might apply there.
Yeah. So if you're a global SI, right, the top three things that you're going to be faced with is being competitive at price.
Right.
Upskilling your resources, right? You can't have a bench because now you're into your product. And then product profitability, or in this instance, your consulting profitability. So what did you say you're going to do? Can you actually do it for the amount that's on that SOW? Right. And so again, focusing on that outcome, our solution gives you one, the upskilling component. I'll focus on them one at a time, the upskilling component. So instead of now having to go and spend, you know, months training and then getting their feet wet on whatever the new technology is, they can actually get the outcome completed and then learn at their own pace. As to like, if you're moving to Azure, you've deployed it in Azure and now you can learn the nuances of Azure without impacting the delivery time on the project.
So maybe I take one workload and I move it to Azure, and I'm going to learn from that, and then I move the next workload. Is that sort of the example you're setting here?
So the example is it's that, but is that on steroids? Because again, if you're an SI, you're doing multiple workloads, and we have 300 solutions, so you can pick and choose. If it's databases, if it's, you know, other web applications, containers, Kubernetes, those things become. You can focus on one if you want, and then get that. You gain the benefit of, you could actually reduce the amount of people on your team that is required in order to deliver the same quality, right? So, and that's where that IP, that's where our thought was put into the product of, you know, as a technical architect, you sitting there, you're trying to figure out, well, you know, here's the best practices for the deployment. Well, because that's baked into the solution, now that's time that you get back.
Right.
Time is time dollars. Time equals money.
So you're accelerating my time to creation.
Correct.
Value cycle.
I'm so excited to continue our partnership with AG1. Many of you know I've made taking a green drink supplement part of my health ritual for over 21 years now, and it has made all the difference to my health and well-being. About 6 years ago, Athletic Greens and now their product AG1 became my go-to supplement. AG1 is the first thing I take every morning to power my day. It covers all of my nutritional bases, supports my gut health, gives a boost to my immunity and energy levels. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/VinceM. That's drinkag1.com/VinceM. Check them out.
So Dexter, you strike me as someone deeply centered and purposeful. Mm-hmm. In fact, I recall maybe it was a conversation we had about meditation, being very centered as a person. Were you always this way? Were you always this deliberate? And how did you get to this point or path in your career?
So I've always taken the time to either reflect or pray or meditate throughout life. I think one of the things, another benefit of COVID, the world was still. So you had time to rest in your thoughts. You had time to reflect on what's important to you, to revisit what your core values proposition is. And then don't let your resume be your eulogy, right? I had a lot of, you know, a lot of people were no longer with us because of that. So how do you, like I said, that caused me to reflect on all of those things. So definitely I'm more mindful of, you know, what I invest my time in, around who you allow to be in your space, because that changes, you know, if you smile at the world smiles back.
Yep.
And so really just focus on being purposeful and intent about being kind, being, you know, being nice, being that person that no matter what the circumstances, you're going to do the right thing. And then, you know, again, at the end of the day, I sleep well at night. You know, there's peace of mind. You know that you're adding or trying to make the world a better place. And so that's what I focus on.
Is that your personal mission? What is your personal philosophy or mission?
My personal philosophy of position is just be 1% better every day.
1% better every day.
Yeah. Everyone, you know, you can go out, whether it's workout, whether it's, you know, meditation, whether it's, you know, whatever the thing is, instead of trying to go and create these really outlandish goals, just say, I'm going to be 1% better today. It's the compounding effect that will add and propel you past everyone else.
So myself tomorrow is 1% better than myself today.
Correct.
I love that. And then getting 365 days later, that's how you get to that trajectory we talked about.
Absolutely.
And what about for Integral? Like, where are we going? What's the path for Integral? We talked about these new services, but what is your ultimate outcome for the organization?
So the ultimate outcome for the organization, you know, I have to think about the end, begin with the end in mind, right? You know, because we're scaling at the rate that we're going, you know, I definitely think about acquisition and or, you know, becoming part of another organization. The other piece is, do we acquire other organizations? Because again, we're growing at a exponential rate, and you know, just looking at that value, how do you unlock that value? Obviously, it's an acquisition, or you acquire, or, you know, those are the two things that we're looking at.
So there's a lot of viewers and listeners to this podcast, Ultimate Guide to Partnering, that are looking to get to the path that you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the secret sauce or the one piece of advice you would give them on what they need to go do better or differently?
Master the marketplace. So
talk about that with us. Take us through it.
Yeah. So find, again, once you have identified it, get a solution in the marketplace. That will give you that recurring revenue model that will give you the ability to do things differently. If you are traditional SI and you're going from sow to sow doing work, That's great until you don't get that next
engagement.
However, if you're adding value through the marketplace, that becomes a transactional model that as long as they're using it, you're making revenue. So now you're not forced to sell that next deal. You can actually think about, well, how can we add more value here?
Nice.
You know, for our key customers, you know, again, the concierge cloud, that's how that came out. It's like, well, if you guys are using this, you know, we have all these other things that you can use instead of making all these payments. We give you a discount on, you know, getting the entire library. And so that becomes an annual subscription, right?
I love what you have to say here. For a lot of organizations that are still trying to figure out the marketplace, master the marketplace. So I have a favorite question. It's one I ask almost every guest because it's just like, I love the way it unpacks sometimes. But you're hosting a dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
And you can host this dinner party in anywhere in the world. We could talk about locations as well here. Mm-hmm. You can invite any three guests from the present or the past to this amazing dinner party that you're going to host, I'm sure, because you seem like an incredible host.
Yeah, thanks.
Whom would you invite and why?
So only three. Let's see. I would do Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
I would do Nelson Mandela.
Nice. Nelson Mandela. I love
and that. I would do my great grandparents.
Interesting. And tell us about
that,
them.
The reason that I say that is I grew up in the South. If you go back that time frame,
yep,
they were on the cusp of slavery, Jim Crow laws. There was a huge, talk about a glass ceiling. It was more than a glass ceiling.
Yeah.
And just to let them see what their prayers, what their hard work, what their foresight to kind of plant the seeds to their generation and kids, what that actually created would be, you know, that's why I want them to know that that effort, that love, that care that they put into their offspring, what was able to be achieved by that.
So the two fascinating leaders, obviously, you know, Nelson Mandela in prison for 27 years, right? Walks away from it and ends apartheid in South Africa and does it peacefully, right? It was this incredible time. And then Barack Obama, our first black president.
Yeah.
Any questions for them? Like how would you spark this conversation up with your great grandparents?
So with my great grandparents, the question, you know, the conversation would be, can you believe this? Like literally it's like, you see what you did? You see what you were able to
sharecroppers or whatever they were back in those days.
You see what you were able to create.
Yeah.
And again, what we're talking about right now was not even a marketplace, a selling to globally. None of those things were even on the table. Yeah. So, you know, that's one for me, that would be a really resounding message.
What do you think they'd say to their great grandson?
Good job, baby. My parents, my grandparents, they always, everything was baby. It was like, you know, supporting you, always there to kind of be there, backing you. And so I could see them saying that that would be.
You're a very nurturing individual. I've got to know you better over the last several months. And I'd say that trait lives on in your family.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I have
generational, as we talked about.
I have three young kings, I call them.
Nice.
And so, I always tell them I love them. I serve the right to be upset if you do something, but always know that you're going to come. It's a safe landing space. Yep. And I think that builds trust. It helps them build character because again, you're going to be in scenarios where you're upset with someone. It's just part of life, but that's not the end state. That's just a moment in time. Right. So a person isn't just one bad thing or two good things. Right. It's the sum of all of your experiences. And so that's what I like to teach my kids.
So this is the ultimate guide to partnering.
Yep.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about partnerships. Mm-hmm. What do you see from the best partnerships? And when you see partnerships fail, What would you wish you had told those individuals or partners, I would say?
So stay genuine. When you see a partnership fail, it's usually there was a malalignment or a misalignment in what the outcome was supposed to be, right? Is, as they say, if you are a partner, it is a mutual scenario. If at some point it becomes a non-mutual scenario, so yeah. I win, you lose. Right. If it becomes adversarial, that's where you start seeing a lot of the decay, and really, it really kills the community. So what I would say to most people is stay genuine, stay true to your initial mission. Don't let money be the reason for what you're doing. Have a passion around it. And I would be one of the examples, like, do what you love, the money will come.
Yep.
Right. And so, you know, I would say stay focused on that, because again, that value, that relationship, knowing that somebody else has your back, you can't put a dollar amount on that.
You seem to love what you do.
Absolutely love
it. Yeah. It comes across really loud and clear.
So
we have these many Microsoft viewers and listeners with us in the room. What message do you want to share with them on how they can optimize their success this year?
Yeah, so there are several programs. If you are a Microsoft partner, I would focus on the ISV Success Program.
Yep.
The BPGI program is a great organization. And again, it's going to sound like a broken record. Get involved in the community. Those are communities.
Yes.
Join the Microsoft Partner Program. If you're a Microsoft partner,
come to Ultimate Partner Experience.
Come to the Ultimate Partner Experience. Because again, I love what you guys are doing here with the Ultimate Partner. It's not just, we have a whole bunch of content, we're just going to throw it to you. No, you're being very curated. It's curated information. It's the secret sauce to, like, how to navigate quickly through, you know, a big organization. And so when you're starting out, or you're just trying to figure your path through, it could be, you know, like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, you're just overwhelmed with all the information, but your organization definitely does a good job of, like, here are the salient points for where you are right now, and this is what you need to do.
And I didn't ask you to say that or pay you to say that, so I appreciate that, though. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's like I said, it's being genuine. I mean, that's what you do.
It's been so much fun having you here today. I appreciate you making the trip down here to Boca from Atlanta. And we need to do this again. Hopefully, you'll be back in the room with us again soon.
Awesome.
We have an upcoming event in May. A little plug there for our partners watching, listening. May 30th, we're going to do something here. You're going to be here in the room with some experts from Microsoft, some other leaders in the industry. So I'm excited to have you back here in Boca in not too long a period of time. So
it's going to be awesome. Really looking forward to it.
So excited to have you today. Thank you so much for being an incredible or an ultimate guest on Ultimate Partner.
I'm trying to become the ultimate partner.
I think you're already there. I think you are. What do you think, folks? The ultimate partner.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Ultimate Guide to Partnering. Online at ultimateguidetopartnering.com. If you like this episode, I'd be thrilled if you left us up to a 5-star review on either Apple or Spotify. This helps us to continue to feature amazing guests. Also, please check out and subscribe to our new YouTube channel, Ultimate Partner. We'll catch you next time on the Ultimate Guide to Partnering.